I hope and pray that you've come today desiring to hear the word of the Lord. And I know our brother is, I always appreciate our brother Glenn in those things in which the Lord has impressed upon his heart and mind to bring to us from time to time. So I pray that you be mindful of those things in which he would present and see how they apply to your life. So I'll turn over the podium to our brother Glenn Orsted.
Thank you, Gordon, and good morning to each of you this day. It is indeed a joyous time to be able to come in on a Sunday or even a Wednesday service such as this and look out and see so many who have the desire that in all the responsibilities and the trials and everything of life to find time to come in, put those things aside, and spend some time in the house of the Lord, desiring to glorify his name, desiring to hear his word, desiring to fellowship in Christian bonds. You know, I find when I come in on a day such as this, it's a relief. I kind of liken it. I'm now in a detective position with the Phoenix Police Department. But years I was on motorcycles and in patrol, and particularly in the hot summer, you know, I'd be wearing my ballistic vest, and it'd be really hot and real uncomfortable. And there's those few places that you go into and you kind of relax, a fire station, one of the police precincts. You go in and you can pull that vest off and get some cool air and kind of cool off and just kind of let your guard down a little bit. And that's how I feel when I come in here, that, you know, I've been out in the world and I've been in this battle, and I come in today and I can kind of relax because I'm in a place where I feel spiritually some security. And I hope you do as you come this day as well. I'll apologize a little bit that I'm kind of coming over a cold. I have a bit of a cough, and particularly those who might be listening to this later on recording, I'm going to try not to cough too much, but it's going to be inevitable, and I apologize about that. But I do have a message this morning, and as we began this service, we had a brother and a sister who came forward to be administered to. And really, that's much of what my sermon is going to be about this day. For those that are desiring something of our Heavenly Father, those that are looking or seeking something in your life. I would imagine that this morning probably a good number, if not a majority of you sitting here, have something in your life that you'd like the Lord to help you with. Something that you're waiting upon, whatever it might be. Perhaps you have some financial concerns, some problems in a relationship, you have some physical needs, you know, and problems in your employment, trying to find employment, problems with children, any number of things, you know. I'd be surprised if a good number aren't at this very moment have something that's a concern, that you're hoping that our Heavenly Father will be aware of, and that He has a blessing. He has a miracle in store for you. And if not at this moment, I imagine at some time in the past you have been in that situation. And if not, sometime in the future you will. We live in a life that's filled with opposition, adversity, hardships. And I think it would be very unusual if there's any individual at some point in your life didn't find yourself in that position where you're beseeching our Heavenly Father for some need. It could be something temporal you're needing, employment, housing, things like that. It could be a decision you have to make, just wanting some wisdom. It could be something physical. You have some illness. You have a disease. You have a surgery coming upon. You're recovering from a surgery. You know, I could stand up here and just list the things, but you understand what I'm talking about. And so, for those that desire to follow along, I encourage you to. I'm going to be starting in the 5th chapter of John this morning, about an individual who was in that very situation. And we're going to read through some of these verses, and then I'm going to spend some time this morning seeing what we can maybe learn from this experience and apply to our own lives. Because I believe that's why these examples, these stories are recorded, because certainly the many years that our Lord and Savior walked this earth, the time in his ministry, cannot all be recorded in the few pages we have here in this Bible. What we have are things that are of a particular importance that by divine providence have been preserved and passed down for us that we can learn from it, if not from the specific instance, the circumstance, and the results. And I think that's the case this day. And so I'd like us to consider an individual here as we're going to read about it and kind of liken yourself in it. You're not going to be the same place. You're not going to be going through the exact same physical things, but at some point in your life, or maybe right now as you sit here, you find yourself in the circumstances of this individual where you're waiting upon the Lord. You have a need. And you're hoping it's going to be answered. Let's start in the 5th chapter of John in the very first verse. It said, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. I'm going to stop there for a moment. As we go through this story, and it's probably familiar to most of you here, it's frequently criticized for a lot of things about the events that occur. And one of them is that they had, for a long time, was that this place didn't exist. And I don't have it documented here, unfortunately, but I was reading an article a while back, an archaeological thing, that they recently found something like this. They opened up there. That's the way it's described here out there. They've found that matches this description, which just adds more credence to this. And so I want us to understand that you hear criticism of this, but slowly with time, the things that we can establish, I mean, they do match. And they have found something like this with this in this location, this place that had these five porches. It matches in this description here. And it goes on here, it says, and in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Excuse me. Now, can you imagine yourself in whatever circumstances? You know, you're in this situation, you've been in this condition for a long time. And I'm just going to take a guess here that it may certainly be consistent with human nature. If he's been in this condition in a long time, which the scriptures tell he has, that he's probably tried a lot of things. He's probably gone to doctors. He's probably tried different medicines, different home remedies. He's probably taken a lot of advice out there. He's probably has tried a lot of things. And when he finds himself in this situation, now we have this individual that walks up to him and says, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? And I put that question to you this morning as well. I mean, in your own life, do you want to be made whole? And hopefully the answer is yes. But, you know, probably this individual, and we'll see in his response here, probably isn't really optimistic. He's hopeful, but he's been discouraged a lot. Undoubtedly, he's tried a lot of things, and obviously nothing's worked because he's still in this condition. And so it goes on and says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. You know how simple that sounds. Well, how difficult would it be, really? You've never, for however long he's been in these circumstances, has not been able to do that. And suddenly someone just comes along and tells you, we'll do it. You're suffering some illness, disease. Well, you're fine. Don't worry about it. You have some great decision. Well, make the decision. I mean, it sounds easy when you read this, but really, put yourself in that circumstance. Whatever's been troubling, and suddenly someone just comes along, well, and essentially says, well, just do it. Because that's been his problem. He hasn't been able to get up and walk. He says, you know, rise up, pick up your bed. It says, and immediately the man was made whole. and took up his bed and walketh on the and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. We're going to take a little time this morning and look at some of these verses, but I want to point out a few things as we go along to help you kind of picture what's going on. It was against the law at that time to do much of anything on the Sabbath. And most certainly for this individual to pick up his bed and walking, carrying something. But our Lord and Savior says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And it says, and immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. I forget what all the punishments were, but they're pretty severe for doing work on the Sabbath such as this. I didn't look it up specifically this time, but I seem to think at one time scourging was one of the possibilities for this. It was taken pretty severely at the time. It says, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured. So they're talking to this individual now. He's picked up his bed and he's carrying it. It says, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Now, that, once again, you know, when we just read these words, I mean, it seems really simple. But he was in opposition when he was seen doing that into the Mosaic law as it was being understood and enforced at that time. And there were consequences and punishments for being opposite to it, much like our own laws of our own land. But you know what? He says, he's been in this condition all along. No one has been able to help him. This man has. And he was going to listen to his words because he'd seen his power and his ability, which was more important to him than any consequences he was going to have to endure for his carrying the bed on the Sabbath. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. So he doesn't even at this point even understand who this is, that it's Jesus Christ. He knows someone's been able to do this. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. As we read these verses here in John, we don't find this event recorded in any of the other Gospels. And yet that's not in itself, well, if you looked at it in itself, it would be somewhat inconsistent. But if you look at the whole writings of the different authors of the Gospels, it's not that inconsistent. And the fact that John frequently records things that happen in Jerusalem that the others don't record. Whereas you'll find most of the other three Gospels record a lot of the activities of our Lord and Savior in Galilee. But John records a lot of things that happen here in Jerusalem. And when we first start looking at this, you know, it's kind of easy if you just kind of just read over it and don't take time to look at it, think that this man has been sitting here at this pool for 38 years, but that isn't the case. It says that he's had this infirmity for 38 years. How long he's been at the pool, we don't know, but we know it's been a long time. It told us there in verse 6, it says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And we know that by the man's accounts, he's made numerous attempts to try to get into this pool, has never been able to. So we know it's been there a while, but we don't know exactly how long. But for at least 38 years, he's had this infirmity. Now, we don't know how old he is. It doesn't tell us. If it's from birth, then he's probably 38 years old. But we don't know what happened. You know, we don't know his age. This could be something that happened later in his life. But we know he's at least 38 years old, and that for 38 years, he's had this infirmity. He has not been able to be healed from it. And we know that he has been here at this pool at least for a long time, and has made several attempts trying to get down to this pool to be the first person there to receive this blessing that he's seen. Apparently, we can assume he must have seen other people receive. We know he's been there a while. We know that he says that he's seen other people down there. So I'd imagine if he's been there and he sees other people going in and nothing's happening, he's not wasting his time there. So he must have seen something occurring there. You know, it's not uncommon. There's many across our own land and across the world, there's hot springs and mineral springs. They're supposed to have these, you know, these great medicinal abilities to heal you and make you feel better. And I don't know exactly what's happening here. And that's not the intent this morning to try to explain exactly what's happening here. But apparently there's some type of disturbance, something that happens in the water. And it's attributed to the presence of an angel. And whenever this activity, this disturbance in the water, whatever it is, a bubbling up, some waves, some ripples, whatever it is here in this pool, you know, the first person that can get down there is healed of their ailment. And so word of this is spread. It tells us here there are numerous people there. It says, and in these, verse 3, and in these lay a great multitude. So there's a lot of people here. So word spread. This man has heard of it, and he's come down here. And he's come here with this desire to be healed of this condition that he's in. You know, we don't know how he got there. We don't know if he had assistance to get there, if he traveled there as slowly as he could. He apparently can move somewhat because it says that he tries on his own to get down to the waters. He just can't get there fast. So we don't know how he got there. We don't know how far he traveled. We don't know exactly how long he's been there, but we know he's been there a while. We know he's been there long enough that he has missed at least several opportunities to be the first one down to the water. We know that he can at least get around somewhat on his own. He has some mobility, but he's slow because of his disability. As verse 7 it says, "But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." And so we have this individual. He waits. He hopes. And he does so alone with no one to help him. You know, you would think eventually someone would help him. You would think that as they waited together, I mean, it doesn't tell us how frequently these events occur. I mean, it just happened, you know, once, twice a day, once a week, once a month. You know, we don't know how often this event transpires. You know, how fast people are getting these healings. But he's at least there for a while, and it says there's a number of people there, and everybody's waiting. So you think during that time there'd build some type of bond there, that maybe someone who's been there with him and stuff, who has now been healed, might wait to help him. But apparently that isn't the case. And as I want to look at this morning, we really can put ourselves in two perspectives when we look at this. The first is we can very much like this individual. At some time, or perhaps now as you sit here this morning, we've found ourselves in some trial of life. Whatever it is, physical, an illness, a disease, an injury, spiritual, financial, relationship, any number of things. We've found ourselves in some trial, something that has slowed us down. Much like this individual, you know, we can still function, but you know, it's weighing you down. It slows you down. It's a burden. That's why I call it a burden. It's a weight that you're bearing. And with that concern, whatever it may be, you know, you really aren't whole, are you? That's how what our Lord and Savior asking is, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You're carrying this burden. And because of it, you're slowed. And oftentimes, like this individual, when you find yourself, you start looking around to people around you, something that's helped them. And you wait and you hope. You pray. And sometimes you may find yourself like this individual feeling that you're alone. waiting. Having seen other people receive blessings, having seen or heard testimonies of things, and you wonder, you know, why not me? How long? How long do I need to wait? How many times do I need to see someone else go be the first one to the water? When it will be my turn? Perhaps you've waited already a long time for a miracle. The other perspective, and I'm not going to entertain that this morning, I want to focus on this first one. But the other one is, sometimes if we're honest with ourselves, there's probably been some time or times in our lives where we've seen someone in need, and we haven't taken the opportunity to stop and help them into the water, if you will. But we've left them to, you know, fend for themselves. We're hoping that someone else will do it for us. Surely someone else will come along and take care of it. But I'm not gonna, that's in our sermon within itself. But this morning I want to look at that first example. And first I want us to consider that this individual, when he's there, he has placed all his hope and all his faith in a source that ultimately he would not receive what he was looking for from, wasn't it? He's been here however long he's been here, and he's dedicated how much effort and how much frustration and time and struggle each time this event happens, whatever it is, you know, trying to get over there, trying to beat everyone else to get in that water the first time, and ultimately that wasn't where his blessing was going to come from, was it? Because Jesus healed this man without him going into the water. Our Lord and Savior was able to give him what he had sought for so many years and what he had waited for so long. And so if you're now this day, or sometime you will, or if you remember in the past at some point where you've had this need, how easy it is for us to look the wrong way, to put our faith and hope in the wrong thing. You know, quite possibly believing we're right at the time. Believing that, you know, the way you're handling it is right. But your focus is in the wrong direction. Surely word has gone around about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by this time, because very shortly afterwards, you know, he knows who it is, but it doesn't click in right away, because his full focus is, I've got to get to that water. And our Lord and Savior standing right there. Surely by this time, there's at least been some word going around about the miracles and the healings that our Lord and Savior has done. You know, I remember a time quite a few years ago that we had a member of our church that had a need. Doesn't matter what the need is, because if you have a need, it's important to you. And this person had a request that they wanted to be administered to. And I was contacted as a priest, and at that particular time, we didn't have any elders available. It would be later, but at that particular moment, we didn't have any elders available at the moment. And I was somewhat disheartened at that time when to hear this individual, just all their hope come out of them and consign themselves that there wasn't anything that's going to happen. They're just going to have to wait in this circumstance. Their words were, you know, I guess I'm just going to have to endure this. They were going to have to wait until the elders returned. You know, this individual had all their hope focused on one avenue. They couldn't see that God could work in some other way. you know, the thought didn't occur to them, and I had suggested, and I'm not really even sure how well it was received, because their focus was so much on this is how they're going to get this, how this is how they're going to get the answer. You know, they say, you know, we can pray about this. You can pray about it. I'll join prayers. We can call. We can join some people together in prayer for this. And I'm not saying this to be critical of that individual. I use this as an example how easy it is for us, even as believers, to get our focus in such a way that we think there's no other way God can do it. And we consign ourselves to remain in a circumstance and perhaps even slow or hinder God working in our lives because we aren't looking around. We're thinking, well, this is the way I think God's going to do it, and this is the way I have to do it. You know, I have got to get down to that water, and I've got to be the first person. And not realizing that our Lord and Savior is standing there right beside you. And all he has to do is say, stand up. You're whole. And by his word, it can be fixed. And so I'd ask you this morning, are you wanting a miracle? Yourself personally? Within your family? Within this local? Within the church as a whole? The world as a whole? I hope so. Even if you don't have some specific need, I hope that everyone here is desiring to see and witness a miracle, God's working that cannot be explained by any temporal means. That we have a desire of that, to see the workings of our Heavenly Father. But if I were to ask you this question, and I'm going to ask you, so I guess it's not if I were, I'm going to ask you this question. If I were to ask you, when would you most expect God to work or make himself known? If I were to ask, you know, when would you expect some miracle, whatever it may be. God's manifesting himself, a revelation, a miracle, a great healing, whatever it could be, you know, something that's obviously God's work that you can see. And you know the results of. I mean, when would you most likely expect something like that? Would it be perhaps a reunion? You know, frequently we receive a lot of things in reunions, don't we? Well, we kind of think about that. We kind of have some anticipation to a reunion. Next, maybe a sacrament service. Does that sound kind of true? I mean, those kind of things you might think about if I were asking you a time or a condition you might expect to receive something. And yet, you know, our Lord has spoken to us in a Wednesday night song service. And so I pose this question this morning, you know, does God wait until we have large numbers to speak? Does he wait until we partake in of the emblems to make his presence known? Or, and I think hopefully, I mean, we have examples where individuals have had great blessings and miracles happen. I'm not trying to discount that at all. But I think frequently when we talk about things that have really happened, you know, revelations and manifestations and different wonderful things like that, they frequently sometimes are reunions or a sacrament service or something like that. So I'd ask you, is it perhaps that for a reunion or a sacrament service or a fasting and prayer service like we're going to have this Wednesday, do we prepare ourselves more? Do we come expecting more? And on the other hand, at other times, do we expect less? Do we come on a Wednesday night song service with less of an expectation? do you just come to, well, as we're going to have this Saturday, we're going to have a, the young people are getting together. I guess not, yeah, next upcoming Sunday or Saturday. And then Memorial Day, we're going to have a get together here. Brothers and sisters, fellow believers in the gospel, do we come with less of an expectation? Probably so. But I want us to think, I mean, sometimes do we, by our attitude, our preparations, and our expectations, limit what God can do? That we're kind of living for ourselves at the time. Enjoying ourselves, enjoying fellowship, but our expectations are down. We're not really expecting God to do anything miraculous. We're not petitioning God to do anything miraculous. Because I find it interesting in verse 6, our Lord asks this individual, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? You think the answer would be obvious, and of course. But then maybe not. Perhaps sometimes we become comfortable with our afflictions. We become comfortable with having a disability. We aren't expected to do as much, are we? Sometimes we can get a little compassion or sympathy. Sometimes we can be comfortable where we're at. We can use it as an excuse. Because as we're going to see, you know, our Lord and Savior asked him this, wilt thou be made whole? But with this blessing, with this miracle, there came some obligations and some responsibility, didn't it? Jesus didn't send him into the water. It says here in verse 8, he says, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And sure, you know, just do it. Get up. You know, if this man had this affliction from birth, he may have never walked. He may have never carried a load such as his bed. Whether from birth or not, certainly been for a long time. We know at least for 38 years he's been in this condition, however disabling it may be. So I ask you, are you willing to follow the direction of a miracle in your life? Because by the very definition of a miracle, it's something that obviously cannot be attributed to man. It's outside of the laws of physics. It's outside of our understanding. It's something that can only be attributed to God. Which means things aren't going to work on the norm, are they? We're outside the box. We're outside of medical wisdom. We're outside of financial gurus. We're outside of marital counselors. We're outside of rehabilitation. That's what makes it a miracle. God has intervened. And so are you willing to accept the fact that you're about to go in a direction that you have never been? Because really, when you're asking, you know, God, for whatever the circumstance that you're in, whatever that concern is, it's physical, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's relationship, employment, whatever it is, if you're asking God to intervene, you're asking him to take you to someplace else, aren't you? You're by nature, you're expecting a change. You're requesting a change. You're wanting a change. But we don't like change, do we? That can be fearful, isn't it? I'm going to have to do something different. This individual's been this way for 38 years. He's going to have to change. I mean, I don't know what happened in his life, but perhaps, you know, he hasn't had a job. Maybe he's been getting, that's part of the Mosaic law, you know, giving the alms and supporting people in these conditions. Now maybe he's going to be expected to go get a job. Maybe now he's going to be expected a lot of things. There's going to be changes that are going to come with this. And the same thing, when you receive a miracle, you may be asked to stand up. Pick up your burden, the bed, and walk. And you may have to go a direction you weren't planning on going. You may have to do things that you weren't anticipating doing. You know, this answer really was simple. Wilt thou be made whole? He answers here in verse 7. It says, the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Pretty simple, isn't it? Do we sometimes overcomplicate our expectations of how God's going to have to do it? I mean, whatever circumstance you want to put it in there, you know, I've listed a whole bunch. Imagine whatever concern you might even have this time. If our Lord and Savior, how through whatever manner, decides to tell you, well, get up and walk. I mean, could you do it? Well, what about, you know, I'm going to have to, well, first I got it, you know, and any number of things, right? We tend to make things complicated, particularly if you've exhausted a lot of resources and a lot of effort and time already trying to deal with this on your own. Well, you know, I can't just do that. But if you believe in Jesus Christ and will allow him to work, it can be as easy as that. That's what makes it a miracle, that it's outside of our understanding how to do it. You're laying there with a broken leg. In the middle of nowhere. You've been off on a hike. You've fallen down a cliff. You've broken your leg. You're there by yourself. No one knows where you're at. Can our Lord and Savior say, you're healed, stand up and walk. Can. You're in a troubled marriage. Can you say, love one another and enjoy your marriage? You can. Problem employment. I can list all kinds of things. We can really overcomplicate this because, well, it won't work because. We can talk it down. And that's my point I want us to understand this morning, is that we can be looking out there. If you have a need or a concern, we can be looking in the wrong direction. We can be overcomplicating it. We cannot be really ready to receive it, not willing to make the changes. Our expectations can keep us from receiving that very blessing that we stand in need of, that we think that we want. Remember very quickly here, this individual, he stood up and was accused of breaking the Sabbath or carrying his bed. What was his response? I mean, imagine this. You've just had some great miracle, whatever it may be. And suddenly now you're confronted by either the laws of the land, unbelievers, any number of things. Well, why are you doing this? Are you willing to stand and say, as this man out there, he says, you know, the man who healed me. Well, let me read this. Verse 11. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. He recognizes his authority. You know, no one else has been able to help me here. The man who made me whole out there, I couldn't even stand before he came. And if he tells me to stand and pick up my bed, that's what I'm going to do. When the conversation at work isn't so good, are you willing to object? And who are you to say the way it is? Because my Lord and Savior has told me that. We may come to the point where we will find ourselves in opposition to the laws of this land. This individual was, by walking there, he was in opposition to the Mosaic law at that time. It could be punished for it. Are you willing to stand with the man who made me whole? has told me to do this. How did you do this? How did you accomplish this? Through Jesus Christ. The one who had the power and the ability to do what no man around here was able to help me with. If God blesses you with a miracle, are you willing to carry that miracle with you through the remainder of your life for everyone to see? To testify of. If it goes against the laws of man, the customs or the fads of the day, are you willing to be ridiculed, persecuted, or mocked for a miracle? Because where do we find this individual next? In the temple. This is not someone who doesn't know anything, who is completely ignorant. As soon as he had the ability, where do we find him? In the temple. It says afterward, verse 14, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. As soon as he is able, he went to the temple. Did you hear that last one of our Lord and Savior said there? Lest a worse thing come unto thee. You're whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Sin and the loss of your soul is worse than any physical disability. Though he may not have been well received by everyone there, this man was a witness of Jesus. It says he, when the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Are you willing to do the same? Are you willing to stand up to the world and say, Jesus has made me whole? And whatever your circumstance was, he's helped you go through. Are you willing to stand with that testimony to the world? Now, I've asked you this morning as we start, I said, are you wanting a miracle? And I ask you now, are you ready for a miracle? I mean, are you ready for a miracle? In our example here, I mean, are you willing to first wait, to be patient? Are you ready for the answer to come from an unexpected source and perhaps from a different location? Are you aware that it could come from somewhere that you're not expecting it? Are you ready to act? If God blesses you, are you ready to receive that miracle? Are you ready to receive that blessing? And are you willing to act upon it, perhaps in ways that you have never imagined or didn't think you'd have to, or perhaps you don't really want to? Are you ready to show the world your miracle? Are you ready to be criticized or persecuted for it, to be challenged about it? Are you ready to stand in opposition to friends, co-workers? And stand firm to the man who told me he's made me whole. Are you willing to tell the next person you come in contact with whatever their care or concern or their trial may be, that you know the way that they can receive a healing, a blessing, wisdom, whatever it is they stand in need, because through your experience, you know that miracles happen. Are you willing to tell others? You know, there's many ways that we can hinder ourselves, and really that's my thought for this morning, is how I believe our Lord and Savior has a lot in store for us, and we hinder ourselves. from receiving much of it. By being distracted on other things, our focus on other things, not realizing what he can do, not fully appreciating, not preparing ourselves to be able to receive it, and not being ready with the responsibility that comes if we do receive great miracles. This morning, in our Sunday school class, one of our topics was about the common belief today that God's done his work and left everything to man. If we have miracles happening on a regular basis and we're standing testifying, you know, we are going to be drawing attention to us. We are going to be a light. But are you willing to be a light? When we take the most simplest thing, I have a need and I want God to bless me, you know, but do you really? Do you want to just take it and then put it in a little box and I'm glad I got it, it's helped me, but I don't want anyone else to know about it. You know, I don't want to have to take any criticism for it. I don't want to have to take any responsibility for it. You know, I got what I want and I'm happy with where we'll stay where it's at like that. That's not what God has called us to do, is it? And so I'd ask you in your personal life, I'd ask you as we come together in a service such as this, as we will next Sunday will be a sacrament service. No, it won't. Two Sundays. As we come to our next sacrament service, how do you prepare yourself? And more than you prepare yourself, and part of that, I mean, do you come expecting? Do you come expecting, wanting, desiring, hoping, and ready to receive? And however it may come, from an individual standing up here in the front, a small child in the back, a manifestation of the Spirit itself, someone we don't even know walking through those doors. Are you ready? I believe God has many things prepared for us. And he has blessed us. And I don't want in any way to think that or say that he hasn't. But really, our preparation, our mindset, our focus, and our willingness to receive the fact that those miracles can change our lives. And in many cases, require a change in our lives. That we can hinder the reception of those miracles. And so I hope I've given you something to think about this morning. I hope that if you have some need in your life at this moment right now, you take these things to heart and realize that God can work in many ways beyond our ability to understand. And that we might be richly blessed. We might have great testimonies of God's workings. That we might be able to see and experience miracles. And that we can have the testimony to take to this world and that with personal experiences to strengthen us, that the world cannot shake your faith in because there's no way humanly possible it can be done. Because you didn't have to go down into the water. A hospital, a doctor, a counselor, a friend. But the man standing right next to you, by his word, was able to make you whole. Thank you.